Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and very happy to be here tonight. We have a very interesting guest, and I'm sure this will be a fascinating conversation. Thomas Sheridan is my guest, and he is the author of a book called Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of the Psychopath, I believe is the rest of the title, but we'll get the rest of it from him. And we're going to be live with him, I think, in just right now. Are you there, Thomas?
Hi, Carrie. I'm here.
Hi there. So lovely to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. You got the title of the book correct. It's Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of the Psychopath.
Okay, very good. And I have to say right off the bat, I haven't read it yet. So that will that will sort of be, you'll be able to steer your comments towards me just as you would the listeners who most of which won't have read it either.
Yeah, that's no problem. Do you want me to give you a brief introduction to what I'm about and how this all happened?
Yes, absolutely. And let me just say here that I have a few announcements to make, and what we've done on the radio show, which is really actually very cool, is they've sort of narrowed down the number of commercials. And so instead of having the first commercial after the first 5 minutes, which is what they used to have, and I think the last 5 minutes or something like that, I forget what. Anyway, they've got less of them. So let me just start off here by saying that there have been a number of things going on with Project Camelot. I've got some new whistleblowers on the website that I want to direct people's attention to. And you can go to my blog at projectcamelotproductions.com and get most of the most up-to-date information. Also, I'm going to be speaking in Glastonbury next Friday. That's a week from Friday. And tomorrow on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, I have a very special sort of day planned. We have two interviews with live stream, and using live stream should be very interesting. We'll be doing live stream video, and you're able to ask questions using the chat room on live stream. And that is on our website that you can click through to get to the channel, and there's a password and so on. So the first one starts 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, Pacific Daylight Time, and that is with Keith Hunter. I've already had Keith on my radio show a few weeks ago, but we didn't have enough time to really cover what his book is about, which is very sophisticated information dealing with echelon location of underground bases and other military installations and how that corresponds to the ley lines and grid lines on and off the planet and the hyperdimensional physics, et cetera, et cetera. And so we would delving into all that at 11 a.m. tomorrow. And then at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, we'll be having Sean David Morton. Sean David Morton is a very renowned psychic, has been on Coast to Coast numerous times and has many correct predictions about the future that he has come up with over time, over the last, say, 10 years. And he was really a regular, I think, during the Art Bell show, but he's also been on George Norrie a number of times. Anyway, he is going to be my guest at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, and you'll be able to ask him questions. Should be very interesting to talk to him about this latest information coming out about Elenin, the supposed, I'm not sure whether they're correct in what they think it is, but or what they're saying it is, but I believe it probably is affiliated with the Dark Star and all of that. So we'll get into all of that tomorrow. But right now we have Thomas Sheridan. And Thomas, now why don't you give an introduction for yourself since you're right here with me now and you've got some very fabulous sort of your approach to the book, I think, is very interesting in that you take into account how psychopaths affect other people and then how to deal with them, which is not something people normally talk about in a book such as this.
I lost you. Can you hear me, Carrie?
Yes.
I lost you there for a second. Okay. How I became interested in this subject. Back in back when I was a kid, I was growing up, I grew up in a pretty sort of disadvantaged neighborhood on the north side of Dublin, late 70s, early 80s. And what always struck me as a child, as a teenager growing up, was that everyone around me had a real sense of compassion or empathy, no matter what their personal circumstances or economic circumstances were. And yet I could never understand how there could be such a lack of compassion and a lack of empathy for the feelings of other people from so-called, you know, moral authority figures within society. In my particular case, it was school teachers. Many of them seemed to almost revel in the school that I was in and torturing children, you know, psychologically and sometimes. And as I grew up, I just never understood how there seemed to be a lack of empathy in some people. In the mid-1980s, I moved to New York. I played in a band. I was a musician. I was very much interested in art. And when I finished all that, I studied graphic design. And I got a job working on Wall Street as a graphic designer, starting in a very well-known, very infamous and notorious Wall Street investment bank who's all over the news these days. And you know, I was just making documents, presentations, this, you know, graphics and so on. And there was this one young guy there who was a few years younger than me, and he kind of gave me the creeps. He was quite belligerent. He was nasty. He had this sort of unwritten tension about himself. And he wasn't particularly friendly to me or anything. And then one day out of the blue, he discovered I was a musician, and he wanted to learn how to play guitar. And he suddenly changed. A new persona came up, and he was very, very superficially friendly, very forward, very, like, wanting to be buddies and things like that. So I, you know, just for the sake of an easy life, I tolerated him, and we started hanging out together. And one day at lunch, he blurts out of the blue that he tells me that he's a clinically diagnosed psychopath. And I'm like, "You what?" And he goes, "I'm a clinically functioning psychopath. I'm actually been diagnosed, you know, by a psychologist as this." And then he went on to tell me that when he a few years prior to that, he came from a very wealthy Manhattan family, and he had basically stolen his father's best friend's sports car, drove it up to Boston with a bunch of women, went crazy, spent his parents' money, and when he got back to New York, rather than arresting him, as they do with rich people, they put him into a psychiatric institution for a few days, and he had all the tests done on him, and they were able to determine that he was a socially functioning. What that means is it doesn't mean he chops people up. He's not that kind of psychopath. Most psychopaths are not violent. A sociopath is another term used for the condition, but it's the same condition. A psychopath and a sociopath is the same thing. They just have no feelings. They have no ability to empathize or feel compassion for another person's situation. They have no... when they want something, they just go and take it. They don't care about the consequences or the damage they do to other people. So this became very fascinating to me, because having met this guy, suddenly I had a backstage pass into the world of psychopaths. And he was very forward with me. He started telling me what it felt like to be a psychopath, how he got a thrill from manipulating people and things like that. And then I asked him one day, "Who are the other psychopaths in the building?" And he started pointing at all these other senior managers. And funny enough, well, not surprisingly, they were the kind of people that would have given me the creeps. They were the kind of people that disturbed me. And I knew there was something not quite right with them. And from that moment on, I developed a fascination with psychopathology and people who were very difficult, and I wanted to know why they were the way they were, why they lacked empathy and compassion. So I began to devour every document I could on the subject. I read every book I could on the subject, and I kept journals and kept observations of people that I believed were psychopaths, mainly through these Wall Street investment firms. And then later, when I moved back to Ireland, through getting involved in politics here. And then about 6 months ago, I was telling somebody all about what I knew about psychopaths, and he said, "You should make some YouTube videos and put them out there." So I started making these YouTube videos on how people could recognize psychopaths if they were starting to come into their life, either through a relationship, which is how most people meet them, through business or through work, if you're having a difficulty with a toxic individual at work, or even someone in your own family, in politics and business.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely fascinating. I mean, I can't believe that this person acknowledged what that sort of sociopathology that he was a part of. I mean, there are a lot of questions that I have in regard to that. In other words, someone identifying themselves as that, and then also other people labeling them as that, and whether or not that could be absolutely accurate or not. In other words, you know, the soul is so complex, and I'm also wondering whether or not we're actually talking about a soulless being.
Well, they don't have a soul. I can actually state that right here. No, they don't. The soul to me is a personality, and psychopaths do not have personalities. What they are, literally a blank canvas which invents personas and puts them on top of that. So I think your description of a soulless being is absolutely spot on.
Okay. Well, when I say soulless, you know, a soulless being, the soul is not a personality as far as I'm concerned. The soul is a much more involved, more, I guess, loftier sort of overview of the individual. It's a conscious consciousness that remains after death. It's the essence of a being, and therefore it's not, you know, in some ways personality would be a complete misnomer. I think what you mean, though, I think you understand. I think we understand each other in the sense that you mean that they have a personality in that they have a traceable through line to their behavior and why they do what they do and how it links up to who they are or who they conceive themselves to be. In the case of a psychopath, you're saying that this is a person who, in essence, the through line that I'm talking about would either be broken or would never have occurred with what would in essence be the higher soul. So, I mean, obviously we can't sit here and diagnose every single one of them, but can you continue to talk a little bit, because I also saw that you link it up with identifying what are in essence referred to as demons or jinns, and that you said that maybe that's the best way to deal with them. And I think that I thought that was a fascinating statement and also very perceptive. So could you also go down that road and talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, before I get to that, I do agree with you what you mean by soul. To me, it's consciousness, okay? And I do agree with the concept of that. What I would call them is a predatory consciousness. The consciousness that's inside a psychopath is very different than an empathic person. And it can be validated scientifically through things like CAT scans. But I do agree that, like, maybe I shouldn't use the word term personality, but to me a personality is usually a reflection of the inner soul. Like, one of the things you can tell about a person is that's very true, that statement, that the eyes are the window of the soul. If you look into as many psychopaths' eyes, you see absolutely nothing looking back at you. But yes, in previous times, in a pre-scientific age, and I think it's actually, in many ways, it actually helps a lot of people who have been victimized by psychopaths to deal with the experience and process it better. They would have been looked upon as demonically possessed human beings. In the back of my book, I have a section on how, in the past, this was actually how they would rationalize it. And in many ways, even though it's not, you know, it wouldn't be considered very scientific and so forth, it actually is a better way for a normal person, specifically a spiritually minded individual, to process the experience, as you're dealing with somebody that has almost like a predatory demonic consciousness within them. And how this began for me was, I was working in Italy about 10 years ago, and I was working in, and on my weekends off, I went, because I'm an artist, I went around visiting various mansions of these Italian nobles from the late Middle Ages period into the early Renaissance. And I noticed that the artwork that filled their homes was absolutely appalling. There would be giant paintings of prisoners having their heads chopped off, captured at battles, or an outbreak of plague, you know, in Umbria among the peasantry. And these would be mounted into the headboards that were given to young aristocratic married couples. And this is where the whole idea of the sort of the evil aristocrat came from. And the whole, you know, Edgar Allan Poe was like this, basically a psychopath who tortured the peasants and other aristocrats. And this is how people in these periods would have rationalized that. But it goes much further than that. If you look at the Celtic mythology, you have things like the Lian and She, who was basically, it's an allegory for a female psychopath. She would be a woman who would approach a poet, you know, or an artist, and become his muse while she sucked the life out of him. And this is very much the experience of anyone who's been in a relationship with a psychopath. They will suck the living life out of you, but at the same time they're giving you gifts. It's a very interesting sort of symbiotic dynamic where the psychopath is maybe providing you with a very good sort of validation of aspects missing within your life, such as sexual unfulfillment you've never had in the past, or even things like a lack of love. They will pretend to love you. At the same time they're doing this, they're sucking the living life out of you in an emotional and an energetic sense. People who come out of relationships with psychopaths, usually romantic relationships, always say the same thing. Like, I felt like I had all my energy taken just with this person. They left me basically a hollow shell. And as this person is being sort of, drained by the psychopath they're in the relationship with or at work, the psychopath himself will begin to glow with an effervescent sort of happiness. It's almost like they're regenerating themselves on the misery of others. This almost energy vampire concept comes into it then. And indeed, this is where the allegory of the vampire, I think, comes from, too. If you look at Bram Stoker's Dracula novel, Bram Stoker was actually a theatrical agent who was an agent for a very famous British actor called Henry Irving. If you read Henry Irving's biography, he was absolutely psychopathic. He had many of the traits, as well, were very appealing and dynamic. But he was a notorious womanizer. He used people. He had no...
We have a break right here. We'll be right back. Thank you very much. This is very, very interesting.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand, conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis. Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone?
This is the Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Thomas Sheridan about his book, Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of the Psychopath. And Thomas, are you still there?
I am indeed, Curry.
Okay, great. So what we were talking about right before we went to break there, you were sort of, I think, in kind of mid-sentence. Do you want to finish your thought, if you recall what it was, or do you want to continue to talk about the notion of dealing with these psychopaths from the point of view of demons and djinns?
Yeah, I'll just finish on that section. How that came about was, you know, after I started making the videos and putting them out there, and I started to get an awful lot of emails from people, particularly women who had been put through appalling personal situations by these psychopathic individuals who just basically destroyed their lives. And you know, they had all the traits consistent with the pathology in terms of, like, it was an invented persona and, you know, the way they were used and things like that, and the way they used pity initially to develop the relationship. But they all said the same thing. Well, I'd say most of them said the same thing. Even some of them who are quite educated people, they would say, like, I swear to you that after a while it began to dawn on me, especially when the relationship ended suddenly, that I wasn't dealing with a human being. I was dealing with something else. There's something else in there that's not human. And I have to agree, you know, they may look like a human being. They may, you know, dress like one, act like one, live amongst us. But in there, behind their soulless eyes, there's a predatory consciousness that's definitely not one of us. And this predatory consciousness, until people fully come to terms with that this is a real thing, there, you know, there really are psychopaths living amongst us in the world. They're 4% of the population. Until that point, they very often will think in terms of them as a sort of a devil or a demon living inside there. And this is how, through history, the notion of the psychopath has always been brought forth in society through allegory, metaphor, and indeed in, you know, in reality as a demonically possessed individual.
Okay. Well, what my question would be is that sometimes it would seem to me that what you're dealing with is in essence a reptilian consciousness or a takeover kinario, in which there could perhaps be a legitimate human there, but through sort of a weakness of the ego barrier or otherwise may have become taken over, and that it could be a rather temporary state of affairs. It could, in essence, come and go, because that's the kind of that is what goes on. And it may take many years, or it may be something that comes and visits from time to time in a person. And on the other hand, it could be a lifelong situation.
Well, there's two ways of looking at this. There's definitely an actual psychopathic condition. Whether it's genetic or not has never been established. It probably could be, but it's never been fully established as genetic. And these individuals are born psychopathic. They actually show the traits such as cruelty to animals, manipulation, and deceiving other people from very, very, very early ages. And these are pure psychopathic individuals. If you put them under a CAT scan and you show them various images ranging from a picture of a kitten to a sunset to a picture of someone having their head shot in the head, they show absolutely no emotional change in with their brain pattern. They're completely neutral, where if you put a normal person under a CAT scan and show them the same images, as you move from the happy images to the harrowing images, their brain literally lights up because their nervous system changes, their blood pressure increases. This doesn't happen with a psychopath. A psychopath can act. This is why they can do things like pass lie detector tests. Now, as regards a temporary condition of the psychopath, you could have a person who's otherwise a normal human being that may, through an unfortunate situation in their life, such as being a victim of war, having been molested as a child, who may develop psychopathic traits within their personality as a way of lashing out at the world, almost like but they can seem almost psychopathic. But I do believe those people are not fully psychopathic, and it's been shown they can be cured. But with a pure psychopath, they put them on the CAT scan and give them, and they test them as very old men in prison, and they still have the same emotional deadness. So the origins are very spooky. They don't really know where they come from. They just seem to manifest out of nowhere. You can have families where everyone in the family is a loving, empathic person, and in the middle of it arises this one child who's just incredibly cold, cruel, manipulative, and just makes life miserable for everyone around them. And these quite often turn out to be psychopathic children. Later on in life, this becomes apparent. If they're not tested officially, you'll actually see it through their whole life story. They generally have appalling life histories of failed relationships, using people. Now, you mentioned the reptilian.
No, go right ahead. I'm sorry. I have some other questions, but go right ahead.
No problem. Just a quick thing on the reptilian aspect. That's something that many people who've come in contact with them have actually said about them, that they have this reptilian quality about them, as if the or complex part of their brain, the reptilian part of their brain, is the dominant function in their pathology and what actually drives them. Where, you know, the rest is where we have things like our compassion and our love and empathy is in the upper brain around the neocortex and in the limbic regions. They seem to operate almost exclusively within the reptilian or complex of their brain. So there definitely is something to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you familiar with the work of David Icke, for example?
Yeah, I've read actually a couple of his books, and I've seen one of his videos. What he seems to be, now this is just my opinion, what he seems to be talking about from my standpoint is he's describing psychopaths. He's even said that 4% of the population demonstrate this reptilian quality. So from my position, that's what I think he's talking about. I've never seen a reptilian, so I can't say they exist. You know, I can't say, oh, I agree with that. But I think in terms of a metaphor, what he describes of these people is spot on, particularly in terms of the ruling elites. I totally agree with that.
Okay. Now, are you also familiar with by chance, the work of Laura Knight Chadzik?
No, I'm not familiar with that person.
Okay. Well, I highly recommend her to you. She's got a website. One of the websites is sott.net, S-O-T-T.net.
I have seen that website, S-O-T-T.net, yes.
Yes, and she actually has also written a book about psychopaths. So
right.
It would be, I think, of special interest to you. And I think her conclusions were similar to your own, at least as much as I can tell from talking to you briefly here. But I interviewed her as well on Project Camelot, and so I encourage you to watch the interview with her, in which we talk about that to some degree, although the interview covers a lot of other topics as well.
Right.
But she has a special interest in that area, and it would be probably quite fascinating for you to sort of compare notes with her.
I did enjoy the website. The brief look at that website, I did agree. It did seem to be singing from a similar hymn sheet to my own.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
Sure.
Now, as far as these psychopathic personalities, and there may be a certain part of society that is actually doing a random selection for these kinds of traits. Has that occurred to you?
You mean as in they specifically seek out psychopathic individuals to
yes.
use them? Absolutely. I saw that in Wall Street. The psychopaths were that I was in my department. I'm sure many of them are actually in senior management in these companies now and are directly responsible for the financial mayhem that's going on. The psychopaths are very valuable in many fields. Any kind of corporation that where you don't have any kind of empathy, such as, you know, like the most appalling aspects of big pharma, I'm sure, like, you know, biochemical, you know, commercial interests, things like the upper echelons of military-industrial complex and politics, they would absolutely seek out these individuals. In fact, if you look at places like the London School of Economics, where so many of the you know, the movers and shakers of society, they call them future leaders. They're actually selected within places like this. There's groups in England like the Fabian Society and the Tavistock Institute have a long history of identifying what they call future leaders and putting them into positions of political public power and corporate power. And if you look at the traits that these groups admire and they look for, they're always psychopaths. They're people who have absolutely no qualms about doing whatever it takes to get to the top, using and exploiting everyone. And when they're getting there, there's absolutely no compassion or ability to empathize with the consequences of their behavior. So absolutely, the world today is basically aligned with those kinds of individuals. We live in a world where we're under the psychopathic control grid. And that's the world we're living in right now. Psychopaths are running this planet. And all our problems in society, from war to economic issues, is completely and totally caused by psychopaths in positions of politics and especially in major corporations.
Okay. Well, that is pretty closely exactly like what Laura Knight Chadzik talks about as well. She talks about the people in power as being psychopaths. And the question is, again, in other words, we have this label that we're calling us a psychopath, okay, or a sociopath. And basically, if it's a being, like, say, a reptilian, where the reptilian side of the nature of the individual is dominated by the reptilian nature, so to speak, then looking at them as being sort of sick, which is what psychopathology tends to intimate, is not actually necessarily accurate, because they may be well in the paradigm of, for example, the reptilian race, which comes across and it's the dominant theme and motivating factor with the service to self, what it's called, service to self, reptilian race would be to serve the hive mind, so to speak. And
Yes, I agree with that.
So there's a sense that, and if you get into the history of the Illuminati and you get into to the families and what is going on there, even into Hitler and the decisions that were made at that time, those decisions were surrounded the notion of the survival of the fittest and the best race, like a racial profiling again, and a race, a way of looking at may the biggest, strongest, et cetera, survive, you know, at the cost of other things. And so it's just, I wonder if you've thought about that actually psychopaths, because if they're reptilian, if they're another being, you know, if they're dominated by another race of beings, then maybe we need to look at them in a different way.
Yes, the R complex part of the human brain, the reptilian part of the brain, it's obsessed with genetic survival, staying alive, and finding very, very, very primitive. And that's really what psychopaths are obsessed with too: survival, you know, genetic survival, staying alive and dominating and controlling, because it ultimately is a fear-based mindset. It's based on controlling others keeps me alive. And that's how a psychopathic mind works as well. And you can see that definitely in sort of like the elite psychopaths. They live in this perpetual state of fear amongst themselves in relation to the rest of society. That's why they impose these incredible security procedures on us. They want to monitor our every move. They fill our cities full of CCTV cameras. They have ridiculous checks at airports. They treat us like we're a vermin or a pestilence or a bacteria upon the planet that is a danger to them. And that's even if you look at genetics, eugenics, the whole sort of like aristocratic psychopathic notion is that there's something wrong with the rest of us, and I'm glad you brought that up. In their minds, they think they're absolutely fine. There's no single psychopath on this earth, be they a low level sort of psychopath just living off an old lady or something, all the way up to a billionaire aristocratic psychopath. They see this app. They don't think there's anything wrong with them. That's why they don't want to be cured or anything like that. In fact, they actually wear it as a badge of honor. That's why that guy in Wall Street told me that he was diagnosed as a psychopath. He thought that I would think he was cool because I was telling him about my like experiences in bands and stuff like that, which is like it's a lot of fun, you know, when you're young and playing in a band in New York. And he actually thought in his own sort of warped psychopathic mind that I would think that was cool, that him telling me that, you know, that kind of a thing. And because they tend to be impulsive and jump and say the wrong things.
Okay, thanks. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Freedom Files. Freedom Files. Weekdays. Files. Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m.
Central.
On American Freedom Radio.
Radio.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, talking to Thomas Sheridan, the author of Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of the Psychopath. Thomas, to continue our discussion in regard to the psychopaths, and we were talking just before the break about the sort of reptilian mind and the notion that these people or beings might be dominated by, in essence, a reptilian being or some sort of facsimile thereof. And it seems that you more or less agree with me. The issue that I'm wondering about, though, and I understand that our political sort of milieu is dominated by these types of individuals, but you talk in your book, from what I understand, also about how to deal with such individuals. So do you want to go down that road a bit?
Sure, no problem. I just want to say what a personal term I would use for them would be a predatory consciousness. If people want to encapsulate that within demonic, reptilian, that's fine by me. It's allegory at the end of the day for basically describing the same thing.
Yes.
No problem with people putting their own sort of, packaging on top of that. I'm not bothered by that, and that's fine. Whatever helps them deal with the situation, as long as it allows them to gain knowledge and, you know, have a better life from, you know, encountering these things and hopefully avoiding them. Now, you asked me then about identifying them. Is that what you said?
Well, not just identifying them, because I think in some ways that you can tell them by their wares, so to speak.
Yeah.
But what I was asking was that you said that your book involves also advising people on how to deal with these personalities.
Oh, yes. Anyone who's ended up with one of these types, these disordered people, these psychopathic individuals, it's an extremely, extremely traumatic experience. Particularly if you're in a long-term relationship with one, what happens is when the relationship ends, they discard the persona that they've used to work you, this invented piece of theater that they've actually used to manipulate you. And you're suddenly confronted by a completely different individual. And if you were married to this person or something, this could be, you know, they tend to get married out of the blue. They get married just on a drop of a hat. And it's always it's not out of love or anything like that. It's just to get a place to live normally, put a roof over their head. But when this, when they reveal themselves at the end of the relationship, it is extremely traumatic for the individual who finds this out, because they suddenly are confronted with the realization that they may have spent several years being in love with somebody who didn't exist. And indeed, that's exactly it. This person did not exist. It was just a phantom. It was a piece of theater designed specifically to work you until a better option came along, and then they invented a new persona person. So these people are extremely damaged by the experience. And another way to get damaged is they could be in jobs with them, and they could be bullied by them, driven crazy by them, have mind games played with them to the point where they don't even know what reality is anymore. It's called gaslighting. It's when a psychopath takes a person's personality, takes a person's reality around them and changes it. It's very, very disturbing. So how do people get out of this is initially they'll go through a stage of shock, which is very, very similar to post-traumatic stress disorder. If they don't get out of that state of shock, it can be extremely damaging for them. It can turn them into recluse, or many of them will turn to alcohol or drugs, or just they will just fall apart emotionally because the effects it has on them. If they get through that stage, it'll then turn to anger. They'll be desperate for revenge against this person. But the thing with the psychopath is you'll never get even with a psychopath because they don't care. They're not on the same playing field as we are. If you're wrapped up emotionally in getting revenge on this individual, they don't give a damn. They haven't got a care in the world. They don't care what you feel. And they're just too busy off manipulating the next person or the next, you know, next group of people they're manipulating. So many people find themselves also in this sort of revenge cycle that's completely pointless, and all it does is make them worse. So there's two ways you deal with the situation. The first one is you have no contact with them. As soon as you realize what you were dealing with, a psychopath, you have no contact with this person ever again. In my book, I tell people, and this has been tested out and it's very successful, immediately disconnect yourself from this person if you can. Don't have any, change your phone number. Don't have any contact with them, because they will try and torture you. If they're bored, they will call you up, or they will try and send you pictures of themselves having a great time on Facebook, and it's all to get an energy rush out of you. They like torturing and playing with people's minds. They like sucking your energy out. So the first thing you do is you must get away from this person. Change your phone numbers, move if you have to, but just get away from them. And the second thing after that, in my book, I've described some meditation exercises that, funny enough, I learned from a Buddhist monk I met one day from the UK in an airport, who works for an organization who deal with women who are victims of rape. And what they do is they use these meditation techniques to help women who've been raped to get their emotional energy back from the rapist who took it from them. And this has also been shown to be very successful in dealing with people who have suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder in war zones and so on, and who have seen things. Techniques work very well with people who have been victims of psychopaths. So that's the recovery path. Get away from them and then recapture your energy. And then there's other things too, like creativity helps a lot, things like this. But the most important thing is to immediately get them any memories, and it's very difficult, any memory or any connection to the psychopath out of your life.
Okay. Well, that sounds like good advice, I guess, to anyone listening. One of the things that I've noticed about psychopaths, and I wonder if you might comment on this, is also other than they use emotion because it's a useful tool, but actually they don't really have any sort of deep emotions. And the other thing is that they also feed off of the emotion of the person the host, if you will. And so what? See, and where this comes from, again, from the perspective of Camelot, would be the notion that it is well known that reptilian beings also do feed on the emotional nature and life of humans. And in other words, if you don't go to, they want you to go to extremes of emotion, and they want you to be mired in emotion so that they can feed on it. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, the only emotions they have are negative emotions. Things like jealousy, resent, anger, rage. They're capable of tremendous rage. Their positive emotions are not really positive emotions. They don't experience love. They don't experience joy and happiness. They can't look at a sunset and be thrilled by it, or wake up to the sound of birds in the morning singing and having an emotional effect on them. They'll pretend it does, but it doesn't really. So they get a rush. They get a rush from manipulating a person, and that rush is a harvesting of the energy, the emotional energy that they capture from the person as they're doing it. I think that's why some of them who go to extremes and become serial killers, or get involved in things like human sacrifice, they take that to the extreme. Ted Bundy used to say that the greatest moment he ever experienced is watching the life just vanish out of his victim. That moment, the life, because it made him feel like God. And that's what they get. They get a rush. Even if it's a low-level psychopath who's just doing something simple like stealing your handbag or stealing your wallet when you're not looking, they'll get a rush out of that. It's the same thing. And they'll also get a rush out of the devastation that they've caused, which is very much ties in with what you just said then. They enjoy destroying the relationships they're in because it charges them. So many people have written to me to say that the person who just wrecked their life, the psychopath who wrecked their life, would almost have a glow like they were in love right after they did it. And they'd have this giddy, chipper excitement. And what that was the rush of energy they've harvested from their victim, who they've emotionally destroyed. So that I've come to the conclusion that the whole thing comes down to energy. We have an energy that they don't have, and they want it. And how they get it is by manipulating us and then destroying us.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. The other thing that I wonder if you have thought about and gotten investigated is the notion that there might be sort of a psychopath that doesn't necessarily realize they're a psychopath, but that they are. They go through a lot of the processes that you're talking about. But in essence, they don't really have the self-knowledge to tell them what it is or why it is. They don't sort of fit in. They don't have the emotions that would be required. And so they manufacture them for, so they can fit into society. But I think that because in a sense, you're kind of coming at this assuming that all psychopaths have self-knowledge as to who they are and what they're doing. But actually, I don't think that that's the case. We'll be right back and maybe sure. Can answer at the break.
Morning for Rome. Ah.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Thomas Sheridan. Thomas, this is our last hour of the show, and I'd like to open the lines for callers to ask you questions if we have any interested callers out there, okay?
Sure, I'd like that very much.
Okay, great. So the caller line is open, and the phone number for those of you that are interested in calling in is 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525. So I had asked you a question right before we went to commercial. Do you recall the question? Because I can repeat it if not.
Yeah, you said some aren't self-conscious that they're actually psychopaths. I agree with that. I think it depends on their knowledge of their own state. One of the problems with a psychopath is they're not self-reflective of their own pathology and don't usually know that they are a psychopath until they've actually been diagnosed. But they do all, however, know that there's a major emotional vacuum in them from the time they're young children. That's you know, a lot of people do have emotional, I wouldn't say a vacuum, but their emotions do tend to be repressed, but they're not psychopaths. They will still have things like compassion and empathy. But the ones who are psychopaths, what happens is, as they're growing up as young children, they do become aware that other kids around them have these things called emotions and love, and they cry when their pets die, and they get sad, they cry when their grandparents pass away, and they're upset for a long time. And the psychopath doesn't understand what's happening. They realize that there's something missing in them that other children have. They don't understand why when, you know, a child who they may go to school with, what if their parent dies, that the child is upset and sad for a very long time. That a psychopath doesn't understand that. They can't get over that. They can't get that concept into their heads. So what happens then is they realize then that they have a very powerful tool to manipulate people, because they can basically hide behind this mask of this persona they invent to pretend that they have emotions when they really don't. And this is how the manipulation starts off, especially I'm talking about the really major manipulation. It begins at puberty when they start developing sexual relationships with other people.
Okay, yeah, that's quite possible. Well, yes, and I think that it's an interesting state to consider where you have a psychopathology, but the individual is not aware yet that, you know, just the dimensions of, for example, their sort of psychopathology.
I think the ones in power don't know it. Some of the most powerful psychopaths in the world, I think a lot of them, well, they don't care, for starters. But I think a lot of them don't actually realize they're psychopaths. They think they're doing great things.
Well, that's possible, yes. Some of them, though, I think after a time would. The trouble with the model that you've got going is that there are also individuals that are on what's called the service to self path, and those are not necessarily psychopaths, although they may demonstrate some of the qualities that you're talking about.
You're talking about self-absorbed, self-serving individuals. Is that what you mean? Yeah, I would imagine that most of them wouldn't be psychopaths. I think in the modern world, and particularly the way media sculpts people today, I think a lot of people are selfish and self-absorbed, but they wouldn't be psychopaths at all, because they would still be capable of feelings and emotions. They would be capable of empathy for others. Where the true psychopath, as well as being self-absorbed, I like the term you used. What did you call it? Service to self?
Well, yes.
Very good. I like that. Yeah. As well as being service to self, they would have absolutely no compassion for others. Where a lot of selfish people, they do at some level care about others. So I do agree with you. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, at least for the listener here, it's important to make the distinction. And I understand that you're saying, I mean, what it sounds like you're saying is that, I assume psychologists and various scientists have done studies on these people,
yeah.
and they've reached the conclusion, for example, as you say, that they have no reaction to certain things, you know, where a normal person would, and so on and so forth.
And I go to great pains in my book to tell people, do not automatically declare someone to be a psychopath if they are emotionally vapid or demonstrate even small aspects of the pathology. A psychopath, a true psychopath, is a very rare and a very specific predatory consciousness. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I would go to extreme pains to make sure that don't call anyone who you find obnoxious, selfish, greedy, manipulative to be. That's what happens a lot of people who've been initially damaged by a real psychopath. They tend to lock themselves almost in a kind of a siege mentality, and they think that everybody, whoever wronged them, is a psychopath. In fact, I have an article on my blog at the moment that says just that, like, not everyone who's ever wronged you is a psychopath. Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. You must make this evaluation with all the proper knowledge. You must study up on it, and then you must do this from an emotionally neutral standpoint. Because to declare someone who isn't a psychopath and call them a psychopath, that's a pretty terrible thing to do, because you're basically saying that they're not a human being. So okay, it's something you must not take lightly. So I'm glad you brought. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, I appreciate that. I see some questions here in the chat room, so I'll just go down some of the questions if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
And we do have a chat room in case you'd like to be part of it. You just click on to, or anyone listening, you just go to the front page of my website and scroll down to the whistleblower radio icons that you see there, and then click on the live chat one. And when you get to the live chat page, actually, you have to scroll down the page to find the chat box and to sign in. So one question here is, what do you think of Aleister Crowley and his do what thou wilt philosophy in light of the psychopath notion?
Well, I don't think Crowley was a psychopath, and I'll tell you why. He was far too creative and original. Psychopaths generally lack originality. Now, I actually think that Crowley on some levels was quite a remarkable man. I think on other levels he was an appalling human being who took, you know, treated people quite badly. But there are elements that concept of do what thou wilt be the whole of the law. At first it sounds like, oh, just, you know, do whatever you want and just use people and manipulate them. But if you actually read the book of the law and you read the law of the Lima, it doesn't really mean that. It's more of a philosophical construct. It assumes, and Crowley never gets respect for this, but he should. Crowley said that everybody, if a person has an internal moral trigger, they are an internal moral cutoff switch. Their own morality will prevent them from going the full level and doing things like killing people in order to get what they want. So Crowley's idea was that what he was offering was much better than religion, because it had respect for the individual and the individual's personality and sense of morality. So I don't think – I think that's a very – it's a phrase that a lot of people, I think, take far too literally. It's a very, very – you know, I find a lot of Christians in particular, that's all they know about Crowley. But if they read the whole book, they'd have a different understanding.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Yes, and that's very perceptive of you, and I'm very happy to hear you answer in that way, because that's quite astute, and very few people, you're right, recognize that. Actually, do what thou wilt is related to, as you say, taking the notion that, as Henry David Thoreau said, that if you take what is your own conscience, your very true closest truth, and you act according to that, that it will actually mirror the truth for all in the end. And then what the root of that is about is basically saying that the individual that is a true human being has a very high natural state, and that if they can get to that point, that they will be able to. It's like telling somebody that to follow your intuition, to follow your own discernment and to understand that in the end, you are answerable to everything that you do. And there's also some shades of Nietzsche in there. So I think that Crowley was misunderstood. I agree with you. There's no way he was a psychopath. Actually, I think he had a great love for humanity on top of it, which is an interesting dichotomy with some of his magical practices, I admit. But nonetheless, and I have studied his work, not as a practitioner, but simply out of, sort of intellectual thoroughness, if you will, to get into what was really going down in the early 19th century and what he was a part of. And that's a whole discussion in and of itself.
People judge him incorrectly as a black magician, and that comes from Christians. The issue is that you approach Crowley from the aspect of a philosopher, and that's how you must see his work. And once you approach his whole life's work from the viewpoint of both an artistic and a philosophical viewpoint, your whole image of Aleister Crowley completely changes.
Yes, that's true. And I have to say also there is the notion of metaphor. And some people are going to go absolutely crazy when I say this, but this is the case. And I had Jordan Maxwell on my show just recently talking about this. In other words, there are things in the Bible that can be taken as metaphor. And many of the things that were said by Jesus and so on can be taken as metaphor. In other words, they don't need to be literally true in order to be true. And if you can follow me there. And the same thing with the things that Crowley was talking about, and also a number of magicians, let's say, and even some of the parts of the Illuminati philosophy that follow along these lines. In other words, if you understand what's being said, it's a metaphor, and you do not have to be literal about it, but you have to understand what's being said. It's kind of like watching a movie and understanding it's not real, but it's depicting something very real and very true by the same notion. It's like the Japanese those very bloody movies. And Quentin Tarantino was somebody who really tapped into this as a Westerner and really understood what was being said there. People will say, oh, those are such violent movies, but actually they miss the point. What they don't understand is they are actually elevating the true notion of what it means to be an eternal being. Because if you are truly an eternal being, you can understand that if you die, you do not truly die. And then if you take that literally, you can put it into a movie and you can make good use of it in terms of allegory and in terms of metaphor and so on. I understand that many people listening to this will simply not understand what I'm talking about. I am assuming that some of this audience will get that and probably understands this already, and that would be great. But it is a very interesting distinction, and most people don't kind of go to that level of depth in terms of their study, and I'm happy to hear that you have.
Yeah, I've actually, a lot of people have to realize too that Aleister Crowley had a very clever and a very typical British dark sense of humor. A lot of the things he said was set for shock value because he knew yes. It would actually rattle Christians, and he took a lot of fun from that. And that, to me, that actually adds an element of humanity to him that we never really hear about. If you also look at his relationship with his child at the end of his life, it's some of the letters he wrote about his children. They were absolutely beautifully loving and touching letters, and he really did have an element of compassion and love underneath all the theatre and the persona of the great beast. He played up that stuff a lot because it was showbiz in many ways to him. And, you know, he did invent the modern world.
Showbiz, absolutely, and great theater. And there was an appreciation for what true great theater was all about. There's also the notion that he was putting himself up to some parody in many ways, the Christian religion, and also some of the sort of preoccupations of, let's say, you know, Victorian England and so on, that's really pervades even the Puritanist mentality of Americans and so on. So,
yes.
I mean, but and so that's great in terms of the fact that you have that backbone to understanding the work that you then wrote. I am curious, though, because you say you were a musician and an artist. Sounds like you were a graphic artist. Do you have any schooling?
As an artist? No, I'm
no,
totally
just, I don't know. Did you graduate from college or whatever?
Well, I studied graphic design at the School of Visual Arts in New York. But I am a fine artist. That's what I do. That's how I make my living these days, as well as a writer. But I have no training in that. I was already an accomplished fine artist before I went in to study graphic design. I was just self-taught. I was lucky that way. You know, I just was born with the ability.
Okay. Now, another thing, and we do have some more questions here, but just one more thing here. Have you talked with, for example, or did you interview psychologists and so on in regard to your theory and before you wrote the book or while you were writing it?
No, what I did was I had spent years basically reading the work from the top people in the field, such as, you know, Dr. Robert Hare at the University of British Columbia, right back to the books from the 1940s from Harvey Kleckley. I put all the stuff on a blog, and I asked a couple of psychologists to look at it and to ask me if I was wrong, if I was off. They all agreed that I was spot on and my actual work was credible. And I have not had one single psych...
Okay, no problem. We'll have to be right back after this break.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride Flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis, Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central, only on American Freedom Radio.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Thomas Sheridan about his book, Puzzling People. And Thomas, are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. We've got some more questions here, so I unless you have something specific you wanted to say, I will just
I'll just finish up on what I just was saying before the ads. I've received nothing but almost gushing praise from psychologists who've read the book. In fact, one of them wrote to me to tell me that it was about time somebody from a non-academic background wrote this book. He said Puzzling People was basically the book that demystifies a lot of the complex science of a difficult subject and brings it down to the language that ordinary people can understand. He said that this wouldn't have been possible if an academic had written the same book, because they would have this restraint. They would be worried about their corporate and their, the corporate and, public funding if they started naming politicians and so on the way I have Puzzling People. So yeah, the feedback from the actual psychology community has been tremendous. I was very surprised, pleasantly so.
Okay, that's great to hear. And also, I note that it on Amazon it has a number of stars. The readers. Well,
I haven't got a negative review yet, so I'm absolutely delighted how people are accepting it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very exciting for you, and I'm happy to hear it. So we have, like I said, a number of questions in the chat room. I'm going to see if I can get a few of them here. One person asks if those in the corporate world become psychopathic as they climb the corporate ladder, can it be learned, adopted, evolved behavior? And then they say, is one born a psychopath? So,
well, we covered that. What he's talking about, what they're talking about there is the proto-psychopath, a person who emulates a psychopathic condition in order to get ahead. But they wouldn't be true psychopaths. They would just be basically pretending to be psychopaths or playing the psychopathic game within a particularly vicious corporate or political structure in order to get ahead. But those types don't generally last long. They generally tend to be eaten alive, metaphorically, by the actual real psychopaths.
Okay. Let me see if I can find another question here. Can autism be misdiagnosed as psychopathic behavior?
That's very interesting. I've actually written a section in my book about that. A person who works in the mental health field in the UK helped me with this section. There is some very, very interesting... This is the first time anyone's ever asked me this on air, and I'm glad they have. There's some very, very interesting correlations between autism and psychopathic behavior. It's almost like the psychopath is the negative version of the autistic person. An autistic person doesn't have a predatory intent. It's almost they don't need enablers. They tend to be very insular, where the psychopath is the exact opposite. They're very dependent upon enablers and using other people. But yes, a lot of the actual traits that an autistic person has is very common to psychopaths, but they're very different. An autistic person doesn't mean another human being any harm, but a psychopath does.
Okay, well, actually, you know, I have to question this now, because my understanding of an autism is not even related to being a psychopath. How is it that you're saying there's any kind of parallel there?
Well, I'm not saying it's related, but I'm saying there's interesting things like compulsive behavior or sameness or restricted behavior in terms of how they can't think outside the box. A lot of psychopaths are not very irony or understanding subtle nuances. Also, psychopaths, like autistic people, have very, very high levels of perception and attention. Another aspect that they share with autistic people is they have unusual eating habits, generally strange sort of almost food rituals. So I'm not saying that an autistic person and a psychopath is the same thing. I'm saying that there is a very interesting overlap between the two conditions in terms of certain behavioral mannerisms that I do think deserves further study. But I don't want anyone to get the impression that an autistic person is psychopathic. That's not true at all. In fact, if there's one group of people in this world who are not psychopathic, it's probably the autistics. But there are some very, very interesting overlaps in terms of a sort of like what we would call a quirky behavior, but that I definitely think deserves more study. But again,
let me say that actually, I think that what you're talking about and you're definitely talking about behavior. Okay. So
yeah.
Behavior can be very deceiving. This is some sort of an outside indicator of something going on, but that's as far as it goes. In other words, just because you take a train to work, or you walk every day or you ride your bike every day, that's a pattern behavior. Your actual destination, what you do with your life, may be completely different, and who you are may be completely different, but you're behaving the same. And so this is where this sort of analogy kind of breaks down. But I appreciate what you're saying. I think that autism is also there is an interesting sort of oppositeness, in the sense that as much as psychopaths may not be inner focused at all, the autistic are completely, almost to the exclusion of the outer reality, focused inside, or at least at something else, some other reality, other form of reality than the one that we commonly share here. Whereas the psychopath is certainly focused, at least it seems, predominantly, almost to the exclusion of any inner life. It's actually that they seem to lack inner life altogether, wouldn't you say?
It's almost like the link is in terms of the id, in terms of what Jung called the id, the existential world of both, they're both self-absorbing. The autistic and the psychopath is both self-absorbing. But however, the difference is the psychopath is predatory, the autistic person isn't.
Right, but again, the psychopath is focused outwardly.
Well, outwardly, yeah, outwardly in terms of, and but I'm, yeah, I agree. You're absolutely right. The traits are very linked.
Okay, but the psychopath has to, in other words, they couldn't just go to a forest and be a psychopath, it seems to me, and live their life there. It seems to me that they would need, they need humans. They need not only for sustenance in order
enablers,
to
enablers, enablers, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly,
yeah.
I 100% agree with that. I 100% agree.
And so the vampirist, the vampirism that's part of the psychopathology is very important. That's the complete opposite with autism.
Yeah, the psychopath is completely, it cannot survive alone. It's completely, it's a parasite.
Yes, I would say that there's definitely that to it. Okay, someone else is asking, what is the general percentage of psychopaths? But you answered that and said 4%.
It's 4% in Western societies, according to the mental health organized public bodies in both the European Union and the United States and Canada. It falls between 3 and 5%. I've rounded out as 4% for the Western world. So it's roughly one in every 22 to 25 people are psychopathic to some degree.
Okay, well,
frequencies. Some are full blown psychopaths. Others are just slightly they're slightly shifty, but they all share this lack of emotional depth and compassion for others.
Okay. The trouble is, and this is, in my view, the biggest danger in regard to this whole thing, is that what I think, and please do comment on this, is that psychopaths actually study humans in order to learn how to behave. And then they take on their traits. And in some cases, they will take on the traits, depending on the person they're with, so that it's almost like donning a piece of clothing. And then they take it off when they walk away, and they adapt themselves using different behavioral techniques in a very sort of cold-blooded way, which is not to say they're like a mercurial person who does something similar or an actor type. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is sort of a more calculated, cold-blooded way of approaching that, but at the same time, that behavior will be completely deceptive. And this is where you get, in fact, I forget who I was talking to recently, was talking about the notion, I guess it was Jordan again, last week's radio show. And he was saying, you know, he had a story about, I guess it was Jesus and Barabbas. I don't know how you say the name.
Barabbas.
And the notion that people will follow actually a psychopath because the behavior and one of the ways for me, a telltale sign is overly niceness. These are telltale signs. You have to understand that
extreme flattery,
extreme niceness,
and sycophantic behavior.
Yeah. Overly friendly, overly kind, appearing to be overly any of these things. In such a way that they just seem to be the nicest person in the world. Yeah. That person, to me, is much more likely to be a psychopath than someone who shows a sort of a natural edginess or more of a fluidity in their personality.
Yeah, you very well noted there, Kerry. You hit the nail right on the head. I don't think I'd add any more to that, really. When they are the ultimate chameleons. They're ardent behavior. If a psychopath is targeting you for whatever reason, they will literally become the missing piece in your life. If you didn't, they will listen to everything you say. They will follow you around online. They will look at your every internet conversation. That's why I make a big point in my book about people protecting their privacy online and don't give away too much of yourself. This is why I find things like Facebook to be extremely psychopathic on some levels. You must protect your individuality, your person, your privacy around these people when you first meet them, because what they will do is they will read you like a book. They will read you because they will read you like you've never been read in your life before, and they will find out every little trigger and nuance about your your personality. And then from that, they will construct this chameleon who will be everything you want in another human being. And this is why they're so good as politicians. This is why you can have these psychopathic politicians who grew up in very affluent aristocratic backgrounds pretending to play the working man, you know, this kind of thing. It's all part of the deception and the manipulation. And flattery and sycophantic behavior is one of the initial markers that you notice in these people. This should be setting off your red flags. There's nothing wrong with someone who's being friendly and forward, but if they're gushingly friendly, if they're extremely forward, if everything you do is just wonderful, if you order a slice of pizza and they tell you that you're the best person in the world at ordering pizza, you know, this is literally how corny they can be. It can be extreme flattery, and this is the first red flag that usually sets it off for everybody. You could be an okay looking person and they'll tell you the most handsome man they've ever met, or the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, or you're so wise, you're so intelligent, and it's the biggest crock. They're just softening up the so they can get in there and destroy you. They're looking for that chink in your armor, and they're going to prize it open using flattery and sycophantic behavior. And once they get in there, they'll be like a tapeworm in your system. They will begin eating you alive. But yeah, absolutely, be very, very careful of people who are overly friendly. Look for a more full range of emotions, like you said.
Okay, and thank you for that. And also, I have somebody who's asking over and over again, so obviously they want me to answer this question. What if you had a parent that was a psychopath? What could this mean for the child?
Well, it could be a very difficult life if you're the child who's the son. Say your father's a psychopath. Your psychopathic father will see a non-psychopathic child as a rival. So generally he will try to destroy that child's self-esteem. He will try to, especially if it's a son, he will, you know, try to wreck that child so he doesn't become the dominant male within the family. He will manipulate him. He will psychologically degrade him. He'll constantly be hinting that he's inferior, that you'll never be the great father figure or the great man I am. The idea is to destroy the child's sense of self, constantly criticizing the child. If it's a psychopathic mother with, a daughter, they'll try to sculpt the daughter into a little princess or something. It's almost like they will try to teach that daughter to take over the role as the mother ages in terms of manipulating men. But being the child of a psychopathic parent, especially if the child is normal and not a psychopath, it's extremely difficult. I think many, many children who come from difficult homes where they've been picked on and they can't put a finger on it in terms of the father being an alcoholic or other reasons, many cases they're dealing with a psychopathic parent. The child will generally grow up with a distorted there because they'll what they see at home they'll think is normal in real life. A psychopathic father or mother can be very self-praising, so the child will grow up emulating that.
Okay, we'll be right back with the last part of the show. Thank you.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating, or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with used potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit-forming. Use the truth carefully.
Freedom Files. Weekday. Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio. Radio.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Thomas Sheridan, and he is talking about his new book called Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of the Psychopath. And Thomas, are you there?
I am.
Okay, great. I understand that we have a caller on the line, and of course we also still have some people here that are also asking questions on the chat room. So let's see if we can go through here, and we've only got about 15 minutes or less of the show. So the caller here is area code 727. You're on the air with Thomas Sheridan and Carrie Cassidy.
Hello, how are you tonight?
Hi,
great.
How,
I wanted to ask you, it seems like throughout history, going back from Nero to ancient Greece to today's time, that people in positions of power as psychopaths seem to gravitate to that. And I wanted to know, you said that lie detectors are capable of feeding. Is there any other way, like stress analyzers or any other thing besides body language and behavior analysts that somebody could be able to tell, number one? And number two, where do you draw the line and distinction between, say, a soldier in war where murders for either fun from a serial killer or profit from a mercenary or for glory or country for a soldier? What differentiates the site or a killer between somebody doing it for different reasons, politically or monetarily, and going back to the power positions of politicians? Not only do they gravitate to power, it seems like money and greed is the final result. Power and greed, what is the final end of what their whole game is? What do you say to these questions?
Okay, they're good questions. The first one about the going back to power and control to ancient times, absolutely. If you even look at Plato's Republic, he talks about things like culling the population of the Grecian islands through creating wars, because being a typical elitist that he was, he wanted the population of the poor reduced. So that was, you know, very psychopathic. And then we move on all through history from that point on. They've always been with us, you know, through, you know, Machiavelli and Napoleon. These were all psychopathic individuals, and then right up into recent times like Leon Trotsky. So unfortunately, they do get into positions of power. It's extremely frightening when they're in these positions. These psychopaths are in positions of power and then admired by our so-called intellectual elite. I'm talking about people like Trotsky and Plato, who are psychopaths, and yet we're supposed to revere these individuals. Your second question was about, what was your second one again?
It was, how do you differentiate between
traits? Traits, yeah. Oh, you can tell they do have, you know, okay, they can often pass lie detectors, but not all the time. This is due to the fact that their blood pressure and so on, and their nervous system is quite different than ours, and they can pass stress detections as well, too. The way you can absolutely nail them is to put them under a CAT scan and then test them that way. That's one way, because their brains are quite different in how they process emotional information, because the limbic part of their brains are quite different, and they also process information all across the brain, where not in specific spots, places, relating to specific emotional information the way a normal person does. So you can nail them that way quite clearly. In terms of actually being around them, a lot of them tend, here's some very good traits you can look out for. They all have high levels of testosterone, the hormone testosterone, both the males and the females. Now, that's not to imply that anyone who has high levels of testosterone, especially a female, is a psychopath. That's not true at all. But psychopaths do all have high levels of testosterone, and that's usually they've got good muscle mass, good upper body strength.
Well, as far as the point of, say, a soldier in a war killing and a serial killer killing and somebody killing like a mercenary, what differentiates those categories from psychopaths? I mean, whether murders for fun, profit, or glory.
Well, one of the dirty secrets of war, and it's in, you can see it in very, a lot of military historian documents by, you know, military colleges, is that they never want to admit it, but the average soldier doesn't want to kill anybody. It's been shown time and time again, right back to the Napoleonic Wars, when major studies were done on this, through all the major military powers in the world, that the average soldier will go to extreme lengths. I'm talking about the non-psychopathic soldier, will go to extreme lengths not to kill the enemy. They'll maim, they'll even deliberately miss, but they generally don't want to fight unless an officer is there to force them. That's why we have so many officers in modern military these days. They're forcing soldiers to kill each other. In most cases, soldiers do not want to kill. Now, so that's how you know a psychopath in a war situation. Now, a psychopath in the military will kill for the hell of it, but they generally make terrible soldiers as well. And believe it or not, militaries weed them out and don't really like them, because what happens is they're completely under dependable because they're self-absorbed. So a soldier during a battle, a psychopath will probably sneak away and rape civilian women or steal their homes or go back to the trenches and steal the other soldiers' belongings. They're not team players. So they're quite different. Now, somebody put into a war is put on tremendous stress. And when you think about what military training is a form of mind control. That's exactly what it is, basic training. So when a soldier gets to the battlefield, he's not thinking straight. He's been reprogrammed in his mind. But he's not a psychopath. This is why these poor guys come back from war to, you know, suffer from things like, you know, post-traumatic stress, because as soon as the military training wears off, their humanity comes back and they realize the horrors that they've inflicted upon themselves and others, where a psychopath wouldn't. So, you know, even though they can do psychopathic acts in the battle and kill other people and kill many people, they're still not psychopaths because they're running a mind control program that's been put into them by their military, by the military leaders. So that's what I would say about that.
Well, yes, absolutely. Thank you very much, caller, for your questions. Okay, let's go to the next caller, if you don't mind.
Yes, thank you. Your show's great.
Thanks. Okay, so we have another caller here. This is area code 856. You're on the air with Carrie Cassidy and Thomas Sheridan.
Hi. I was just listening to the show. I was wondering about what you thought about the Beast, the I'm forgetting his name, Aleister Crowley. Like, you were saying that you didn't think he was too bad. From everything that I've seen, it seems like he's 100% with Satan and to destroy the world. I don't know if you can expound on what you said.
Well, if you listen to what I said earlier on, one of the things that people don't know about Aleister Crowley is that, and they don't realize this until they've studied it, that he had a sense of, a black sense of humor that wasn't necessarily what he was really talking about. He was very British that way, and you can see a lot of, like, it's like saying that, watching an episode of Monty Python and saying to yourself, oh, those guys really do really behave like that in real life. Crowley had the same kind of British dark sense of humor. He reveled in attention. He was almost like a rock star for his time. In fact, when you think about it, he kind of invented rock and roll. And he knew to get attention and to get notoriety and to get fame, he had to play a certain kind of game that involved shock value. But his image of Aleister Crowley, what you find below this persona that's been very badly misrepresented by Christians, and I'm not saying that everything Crowley did in his life was admirable. He certainly, his treatment of his first wife was not very nice at all, but it wasn't psychopathic. There was a lot of problems. He also had problems with addictions as well, and that's, you know, that doesn't make someone a psychopath either. But if you look beyond all that and you get beyond the mystique and the showbiz image of Aleister Crowley, below that is a very brilliant philosophical mind, a pretty much a genius on many levels, and I have no qualms about saying that. And also, he had other attributes, like he was a superb poet. How many people know what a wonderful poet Aleister Crowley was? And along with Lady Farida Harris, he created, from my opinion as an artist, one of the great unsung masterpieces of Western art, and that being the Thoth tarot deck. If you haven't seen it, it is one of the most beautiful things in terms of visual art. And, you know, and that's why I don't consider Aleister Crowley a psychopath, and I never will, because psychopaths don't have any creativity. They don't have any inner emotional depth, and Aleister Crowley had plenty of it. So I would encourage people to, I'm not telling people to become followers of anybody. I don't follow him. I'm not a member of any organization, of any kind of organization. But I too had all these false impressions of Crowley. And then I started to read his books and read his writings. And he was absolutely a man ahead of his time. Did you know he was the first person to talk about how, you know, democracy was basically a farce because the population aren't given the proper knowledge about sports. He was one of the first people to ever, you know, bring this subject up of how deliberately dumbed down populations are in order to keep politicians in power. He saw right through many politicians for what they were. He knew that the whole sham of democracy was a joke. He was one of the first people to criticize things like communitarianism.
Actually, I guess we're coming to the end of the show here, and thank you, caller, for your call. I would like you to say your website, Thomas, the name of your book, and any last parting remarks before we go to the very end of the show here.
Well, first, Kerry, thanks to you and your listeners for having me on. The name of the book is Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of the Psychopath. The best place to get it at the moment is Amazon, but you can basically get it anywhere else if you want to look for it. My website is labyrinthpsycho.blogspot.com, and my YouTube channel with dozens of videos on how to deal with psychopaths and recover from them is Thomas Sheridan Arts. That's on YouTube.
Okay, thank you so much, Thomas. I really enjoyed talking to you, and thanks for coming on the show. This is Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio. Please do tune in to my live stream events tomorrow.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
No rules.
No rules.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.